The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, after the Aces got the dramatic Game 1 win Sunday afternoon, we got Game 2 in the best of five WNBA Finals tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN. Sun looking to even it up. WNBA Countdown tips it off 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. And with that, we welcome you to hour number 2 of Get Up. We are live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. What can I say? We're jam-packed today because there was so much energy in this room, and a lot of it came from what happened last night. Who would have thought that Russell Wilson's return to Seattle would end the way it did?
Shiny.
What's he wearing?
He looks like an off-Vegas performer.
In the meantime, the fans, they were ready for him. They booed him all night long, and then his backup, his former backup, Geno Smith, stole the show. Jeff Saturday, opening drive, jump pass, touchdown.
Ooh, ooh, pressure, no worries, little jump pass, wide open. Just walk it on in the end zone. No worries, no problem, no pressure. I'm going to show everybody who I am.
Seattle, the early 7-0 lead. Russell hadn't thrown a ball to a wide receiver, Dominique, until late in the second quarter.
Yeah, he didn't throw that one to a wide receiver either, but Jerry Jeudy came back and got it and made a play out of it.
67-yard catch and run. All right, so we're tied at 10. Next Seattle drive, Geno Smith. He didn't know this was supposed to be Russell's party, Jeff.
Incredible answer. I mean, you think about it, every time you felt like the Broncos were moving that momentum, no. Geno, shut him down.
He was 17 of 18, two touchdowns in the first half. Now, third quarter, Denver's down 17-13. Fourth and goal from the one, what?
Yeah, this is inexplicable. This is your fault, Jeff. You guys up front, push him back. We got to get an inch. Move somebody.
That's Melvin Gordon getting that close but not getting in. So make a little note. That's one trip inside the five coming away with no points. Here comes another. Third and goal, they're inside the five, and it's another fumble, Jeff.
This is brutal. This is, you can't have it. But listen, there were some issues with the play coming in. Everybody felt rushed. You can see it. And then Williams gets hit, ball comes out. Can't have it.
Pete's losing his mind. So that's two trips inside the five, no points. Fourth quarter, still down four. First and goal at the five. This time they get the touchdown, or do they?
Yeah, it's a little bit unlucky. It's a great catch, great throw. Just get that foot back a little bit more.
Drag the toe.
Eric Tomlinson. It's just out of bounds, so that sets up this. Looking for Cortland Sutton, no good. So that's three trips inside the five. They wind up with 3 points total. It's 17-16, they're down. Now, here's your ball game. 3.5 minutes left. The 12s are going crazy. Russell on a drive, and he is moving them down the field.
Yeah, he looked like Russell of old. He's making the plays. It wasn't always clean, but he's making it happen.
Now, that's the coach, Nathaniel Hackett. Look at the bottom right of your screen. It's 3rd and 14. At the moment when Williams gets tackled, there is a minute left on the clock. They have 3 timeouts remaining. And then tick, 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 tick. And we showed you Peyton Manning losing his mind on the Manning cast. What are they doing? They're doing nothing. They're letting the clock run all the way down and then calling timeout to attempt a 64-yard field goal. Jeff Saturday, your thoughts?
Brutal. $250 million. Let's let the kicker kick it. Don't throw it.
Brandon McManus. 64 yards at sea level.
Yeah.
As Graziano said, maybe below sea level.
No, 174 above. I looked it up.
But the length was not the problem. Look how close this is. But by that much, Russell's return ruined. Coach, what were we doing?
Yeah, 4th and 6. For me, during that time, we had been just moving it slightly. They weren't moving it with big chunks. I think we had just given up a sack right before that. So wanted to be sure that we took a chance when we had a chance. And I felt confident in him.
I believe in Coach Hack. I believe in what we're doing, and believe in everything. And, any time you can try to find a way to make a play on 4th and 5, that's great too. But also, I don't think it was the wrong decision. I think he can make it. Obviously, in hindsight, we didn't make it. But if we were in that situation again, I wouldn't doubt whatever he decided.
All right, so Russell Wilson saying the right things, because that's what Russell Wilson does. Ryan Clark was on Twitter speaking, I think, for the entire planet when he said, I ain't paying $256 million to let my kicker kick a 64-yard field goal on 4th and 5. Every week we do good calls brought to you by Subway. So the question is, was that a good call or was it not? Marcus Spears, I will give you the floor. Was that a good call by Nathaniel Hackett?
Subway, with all due respect, it was not. Okay, and here's the thing. Here's the thing too. Like Russell Wilson, that answer pissed me off. All right, dude, just say I want the ball in my hands. Just say put the game on me. Let me try to help us get a little bit closer in field goal range. I'm good with everything. I believe in everything. You and Hackett done played one game together. You don't believe in everything. You don't know what to believe in yet. And that ain't something to believe in. And I think we put a graphic up there that the kicker is 1 for 8 on 60-plus field goals, 60-yard-plus field goals. I think that's what the graphic said. Correct me if I'm wrong. So with all of that being said, I want Russell Wilson to say one time in a press conference that I'm mad about how this transpired and we should have did something different. Or if you want to, Russ, let me coach you right quick. If you want to couch it and still be politically correct in what you're saying, you say this. Say, I would love to have the ball in my hands in that situation to see if I can get my team closer for a field goal or see if I can put us in a position to score. That's what you should have said. Come on, man. Like, this is football. We football players talk about this game on television, and then we get looked at as we dumb and we out of touch and we've been out of the game for so long. I don't know when the last time in the NFL somebody felt comfortable with a 64-yard field goal.
Just because we see people
make it don't mean it's a good thing to do in that particular situation with a minute left and 3 timeouts. Go ahead, Jeff. My bad.
But see, if you did it with a minute left and 3 timeouts, that would make more sense than waiting till there's only 20 seconds left and calling the time.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Because then even if you miss it, you might still get the ball back. Like, there was so much wrong with how they managed that final minute.
Let's be 100% clear. They did that wrong. There's no excusing the way the coach coached that. And for him, you can be mad at Russell Wilson all you want. What the heck is he going to say? For the coach to say, I think we had just given up a sack? You think we had just given up a sack? Were you not watching?
Yeah.
I mean, you were just converted. You were just gained 9 yards on a third down pass to Javonte Williams. That's what you had just done.
Listen, there's no analytics that can explain away what just went down.
Yeah.
We can use percentages. We can use all. At the end of the day, whether you decide to kick the field goal, nothing. The whole way it was handled was backwards, and it is painful for a coach. It was his first game. I get it. But when you talk about the NFL, the devil is in the details, and wins and losses are just razor thin. This did not give your team the best chance to win. And again, I'm giving Russell Wilson the ball. There are a million calls for 4th and 5. I'm just letting everybody know. Advantage offense in all reality. You know this playing DB. You're playing on your heels
in that situation. We don't want to give up a big play.
Exactly.
If you're going to convert 4th and 5, you're going to convert 4th and 5. We're going to live the play another day. We're going to play it aggressively, but we're going to be
exactly
cautious.
Right.
And my point, like, I understand why Marcus was frustrated with what Russell said, but I was more frustrated with Hackett because not only did he make the wrong decision in a completely predictable situation, in the press conference, he continued to double down on that wrong decision. Why not stand up and say, that's on me. I made a mistake. I should have done this. I should have done that. I got to get better. My bad, Russ. My bad, Broncos, who are out there slamming your heads into other heads. I just had to make a choice. I made a wrong one. I'm sorry.
So we're going to look up a stat for you. I'm doing this live here. Josh or Darius or whoever's doing our research in Hembo's absence this week, what percentage of 64 or longer yard field goals have ever been made in NFL history? Forget about it. He's 1 for 8 is a good stat.
Ooh.
Here it is. How about that? Good job, Darius.
Wow.
That's my
really
guy.
Well,
he's got it right up. 2 for 41. Your chances, you're telling me that 4th and 5, your chances aren't better than 5%?
No,
confirming that. And again, it's not even the decision. I'm sorry to be getting this frustrated with it, but anyone explaining it, Marcus, it's the lack of decisiveness.
Yeah.
You want to be a head coach of the NFL, you got to make that decision fast. It took him 40 seconds to figure out I'm going to kick a 64-yard field goal.
Through all of this talk, Dan Graziano made the best point.
Oh, thank you.
Even if you don't, Even if you don't make the field goal, extend the game. Yeah. So Nathaniel Hackett not only missed an opportunity to extend the game, he tried something that's happened at 4% since 1960 when Grimes was at Georgetown. I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, man. Here's the thing, G, and you make a great point with what you just asked. Bro, like, I don't understand how. First of all, Nathaniel Hackett is the son of a coach that everybody regards in high praise. All of the football that you watch, you played the last game of the week. You played the last game. You saw all the way through Thursday, to Monday night when you played here on ESPN, which was a great game, by the way. But ultimately, this is what you don't to Foxy. Don't defend this, bro. This is my first game. It was bad, and I'm gonna get better.
I'm just imagining like how Patrick Surtain Jr. must feel. He's out there fighting with DK Metcalf all game, and Nathaniel Hackett don't got a mutant in his face. Yeah. He just gotta look at a clock and go like this.
Let me say this because Greeny brought up a point about coordinating and being a head coach. Here's the issue. Coordinators really need to be thinking 2 to 3 plays ahead. He knew he was going to be at a 4th and something. 3rd and 14, probably not a high percentage you're going to get a first down. If you do, you go to your first down calls. But he should have had his 4th down play in his head. Decision should have been made before the 3rd down play is run. So that's the way you coordinate, and the head coach knows that.
It's worse than that because you guys are making it seem as if it took him this much time to make the decision. He made the wrong decision ahead of time. This is what he wanted to happen. He was not frantic in that moment. He's like, you know what? We're going to get 9-10 yards, and then I'm going to milk the clock so we don't give the ball back.
There's
and we're
no going to nail a 64 yard on that pass. Ain't no way.
So look, I mean, it's important to understand, right? You say head coach, coordinator. This is the first night he's ever done either job, as a head coach or play caller. So you have to believe it'll get better. However, we have spent the offseason saying who's going to win the AFC West? And all four teams look great. And what could make the difference? Right? This is a first-time head coach. And last night's a game that at the end of the season, they're going to look back and say, they should have won that game.
Oh, by the way.
That can make a difference.
Let's also make clear for anyone who didn't watch the game, that was not the only moment that they looked like a badly coached team.
They had 12 penalties, right? Multiple delay of games because they couldn't get the play in on time. That fumble, Javonte Williams at the goal line. Yeah, you can't fumble. But they were obviously hurrying up in that play, and things were all discombobulated at the snap. It was a rough debut for Nathaniel Hackett.
You know,
hopefully
Jeff
for his sake and theirs, he gets better. But that was not a great game.
Marcus, quick final word. Go.
I just want to ask Jeff Saturday. Jeff, what is the thinking in getting in shotgun? They were having success on the toss all night. Yes. As a defender, me and Foxy know this, it's harder to defend a toss in football in the goal line and red area than anything. Because the running back got options in that situation. Yes. What the hell is these dudes lining up in shotgun for, bro?
Ridiculous. Listen, and then you got to play the QB sneak so it puts the defensive tackles in tighter, makes the edges shorter. We have all these conversations. We want to play spread ball. Makes absolutely no sense.
Whoever would have imagined that we would open up the show today, we would go 12 minutes into this game, and Russell's return to Seattle is not even a factor.
No.
I mean, that's not the story. We'll talk a little bit about him as we go. But the story last night was not Russell. It was not the 12s booing him. It was the coach giving a game away. As we continue, the Cowboys are saying the right things, but as their season up in smoke with Dak Prescott's thumb in this situation, it's in. We'll talk about that then after week one. Who are the kings of the hill in the NFL? Our first power rankings are here. I'm promising there was one big surprise, and you'll hear who it is as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up on a day filled with NFL news. Groz, let's run the hurry up on injuries starting in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh defensive end T.J. Watt has a pectoral muscle injury. The Pittsburgh Steelers still hoping that it's not fully torn, that he can return without surgery. They'll have more information as the week goes on, but a little bit of optimism that he might be able to not have to miss the whole season. And running back Najee Harris left this game with a foot injury, but early returns on this indicate that they aren't overly concerned. It's possible he might not have to miss much, if any, time. Patriots quarterback Mac Jones was treated for a back injury after the game Sunday. He had x-rays and did receive treatment, but he made it clear yesterday in his news conference that he feels good and that he should be good to go. It sounds like he avoided a scare. We'll obviously keep an eye on that as the season goes along, but Mac Jones doesn't sound like he's in danger of missing any time. Unfortunately, not the case with Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, who did have surgery yesterday to repair that fracture in the thumb on his throwing hand. We've been told that surgery went well and that 6 to 8 week timeline that our Todd Archer reported Sunday night still holds up. He'll probably have to be inactive in terms of doing anything with that hand for a couple of weeks, and then they can start the process of rehabbing and getting him back toward getting on the field.
Yeah, look, when we talk so much about Dak Prescott on this show, first and foremost, we all wish him well, and Tad and everybody else, because, I mean, it's just horrible to see that happen to a really good player like him early in the season. In the meantime, the impact on the Cowboys, both Mike McCarthy and Stephen Jones talking about it yesterday.
We definitely anticipate making some roster moves. Probably by tomorrow. Well, I got a list right here of every quarterback in the league, so we're talking. It's a long conversation.
We're going to get better as a football team, no question. We believe in this team. Certainly it's unacceptable the way we played, but to have complete confidence that this team's going to put it together.
So Stephen Jones has confidence. Caesars Sportsbook does not. If you look back, entering the weekend, the Cowboys were plus 140. They were just behind the Eagles as the favorites to win a division that they had been favored to win for a long time. Now, as you see with Dak hurt, they have the longest odds of any team in that division. But so look, what are they going to say? Stephen Jones and Mike McCarthy saying everything is going to be fine. Marcus Spears' face suggests he doesn't think so. Is the season over in Dallas, Marcus?
Yeah, it's over. Yeah, it's over, B. I'm just taking some notes right quick. Taking some notes.
What are you writing?
I'm gonna get to you right in a second. Okay, guys, I just made a list, guys. Okay? G, do you remember when we sat on this show and I said the New Orleans Saints got more debt than the United States of America? And when the Saints signed Jarvis Landry this year, remember they got Jarvis Landry over from Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna give y'all a list because I y'all know how much I love the Cowboys. I'm a fan, but I don't want the world to be unrealistic, okay? Because every time something happens and every time something transpires, and I'm looking at players and I'm thinking about what all these teams have done, I'm writing one more down, G. I'm gonna give you a list. Hold on.
He's on the transactions list right now. He's on the transactions.
All right, here we go. So here we are. The Las Vegas Raiders. They went and got Devontae Adams and they signed Chandler Jones.
Yep.
The Saints signed Jarvis Landry. The Philadelphia Eagles signed A.J. Brown. The Rams went and got Allen Robinson this year, and we know all of the moves that they've made here up prior to winning a Super Bowl, like going to get Matthew Stafford after they went to a Super Bowl with another quarterback. The Miami Dolphins got Tyreek Hill. The Bills went and got Von Miller. The Los Angeles Chargers signed Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson this summer and paid them money to come play. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers signed Julio Jones. And I don't care what you think about Julio injury history or whatever happened. Julio Jones went to Tampa, and he looked like he in his second year in the NFL. What's up, Grimes? What's up?
You know, no, so you what know, are you we saying? We had graphics people. We could have put this all in
no, like a no, graphic. I don't want the graphics people. Screen.
Go ahead.
I make my own damn graphics. All right. So here's the thing. We've sat here for months and talked about the Dallas Cowboys roster is bad. The Dallas Cowboys offensive line is jeopardized. Matter of fact, they sent Lyle Collins. I don't think Lyle Collins is a world beater. He's better than what they had against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night. Connor Williams walked out the door, didn't think he was great, went to Miami signed him too. So, guys, when I put this list together and we think about the NFL and where we are in the NFL today, I want the Dallas Cowboy fans to honestly think about this. Do you think your team and your front office is really trying to win a Super Bowl? Or do you think it's just talk and it's fool's gold and we're okay with what we have? We like our guys. No, you don't. You can't like your guys if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, because I just ripped off a bunch of guys. And let me explain this to y'all also. I didn't put the Cincinnati Bengals on here, who spent $180 million on an offensive line this year. Okay? So for everybody out there that's thinking about, oh, the Cowboys this and the fans, and they gonna get mad at Stephen A. when he go in on the Cowboys, and Michael Irvin gonna say something about the Cowboys are one player away and they can sustain and it's doable. It ain't. It's a wrap. And it was a wrap before the season started, because they wasn't winning no Super Bowl anyway. Before Dak got hurt. Go ahead, guys.
I wanna make sure I'm understanding what we're saying. Dominique, he's saying that this is not about Dak. That this team wasn't any good anyway. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think he said it before the season started. I know I sure as hell was. I think that the pressure that we were putting on Dak to lift the roster that was incomplete and had major holes in it was unfair. So, like, I hate that Dak got hurt, but at least we don't have to have these arguments all week where I try to convince y'all that nobody could have lifted this roster because they can't protect him. And he was bad. I'm not trying to absolve him from the criticism. He deserves the criticism. But this team was not prepared to make a run. Their run ended. Their window, it closed last year. They should be in rebuild mode.
So if I said that the early part of their schedule is not that brutal, that I could see them winning two or three games, staying reasonably close to 500, reasonably close until Dak comes back, and you're telling me they couldn't make a run in the second half anyway, Jeff?
Yeah, they're not going to win what you're thinking. Whatever you think about is going to be easy.
That's who they're playing.
Yeah.
Whatever Giants, you think, Commanders, Lions, Bears.
All
you're telling me they can't win a couple
all
of those games?
Well, right now, they'll be underdogs in every one of those games. Yeah. Every one of those games. Cooper Rush is your starting quarterback. They'll be underdogs in every one of those. So could they? Sure. We just saw some crazy things happen in the NFL. But at the end of the day, I do disagree with the part about Dak. This is what I will say. Had Dak Prescott been able to play full 17, this team still would have competed for the NFC East. He is that good a player. He would have got – Gallup comes back. He finds CeeDee Lamb. They get things going. Their offensive line finds ways. Now in that early part of the schedule, they do find some wins and are capable. When you take Dak out, the only chance they had was the consistency that Dak brought them. That's gone.
Does this the injury to Dak make it more or less likely that McCarthy remains their coach?
I think he lasts the season, but I thought that anyway. This gives them one more reason to give him that. I still think if they don't make the playoffs that they probably make a move at the end of the season. It's going to depend on how it looks, but I don't think it has much to do with it, because he'll be back. And I agree with you. I mean, they could pick off a win or two. The NFC is not some monster.
Marcus, I'm not writing off the Cowboys completely yet. Take that for what it's worth.
Literally, which is very little. Make
literally
a wild card?
Maybe a wild card? Yeah, you never know what might happen.
Man,
I got to break on that thought.
Stop.
Stand by. We're getting to Josh Allen as we continue. He was terrific in the Bills' season opening win against the Rams. Buffalo has to be number one on Dominique's initial NFL power rankings, right? Maybe not. Wait till you see the list. Plus, wait till you see this question for Dan Graziano. With us doing power rankings coming up, what was the last time with the Rams and the Bengals both losing? What was the last time the two Super Bowl teams from the previous year both lost in week one?
That answer is next. Marcus has got graphics. Maybe he'll put up the answer next.
Graphics look great.
That's my guess.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and in case you were just joining us, the return of the night, Russell Wilson in Seattle as a Bronco, and it was spoiled in the fourth quarter again after a lot of machinations got it to 17-16 in favor of Seattle. In the fourth quarter, it was Russell with a chance to be the hero late in the game, trying to drive his team down the field. Third and 14 here, down by one. That's Javonte Williams, who goes for 9 yards. Again, look at the lower right portion of your screen. The Broncos have all 3 timeouts. They don't use any of them until the clock runs all the way down to 20 seconds left in the game. Instead of putting the game on the shoulders of his new quarterback, Nathaniel Hackett decides to kick a 64-yard field goal with Brandon McManus, who, to his everlasting credit, got awfully close. It's just that far wide. It wasn't short. It had the leg. But in the end, it's Pete Carroll who laughs last and thus laughs best. Seattle wins in the return, 17-16. Russell Wilson's numbers, you see them on your screen, 29-42, 340 yards and a touchdown. Geno Smith gets the win. So, look, we have spent a lot of this morning, if you're just joining us, piling on. That's not the right way to accurately describing the disaster that was Nathaniel Hackett's coaching debut last night.
That's fair.
That has actually overshadowed the return of Russell Wilson to Seattle, where he was loudly booed from the very beginning. What did you think of Russell? How did he look? And what do you think it means for their season?
Well, I mean, he put up great numbers, but if you watch the game, it kind of felt up and down the way Russell was playing. But I had complete confidence in him at the end of the game that he was going to figure it out. The defense was incredible throughout much of this game, so I think that gives the Broncos some hope, and I hope that Nathaniel Hackett learns from this first game. Like, we're being very hard on him, but we have to understand it's his first game coordinating and his first game as a head coach, so hopefully he'll get better in these situations and this team will have a shot because they are loaded.
Chad, Saturday, what did you think of Russell last night?
Yeah, he started slow. You could tell the emotions got to him. He was he wasn't throwing it. Yeah, throwing, you could just feel it, right? And for every player who's ever gone back and has had a place that's been that productive at one play, it's tough. And so I didn't think he started effective, but on third down to be 12-14, almost 200 yards, that's what you pay a guy big bucks for.
Marcus, usually, frequently, when a big star goes back, when Peyton Manning went back to Indy, when you went back to Indy, when a lot of these, you know, they get the video and they get the fans.
Absolutely.
He got booed loudly all night last night. Do you think that affected him at all in the slow start and some of the questions in the performance last night, Swaggoo?
I do believe the slow start, it had some impact on that, and probably trying to stay within his emotions, right? Like right. not wanting to get too high or get too low, and you find yourself in that middle ground where you're not doing great, but you're not doing bad. And I think that's what Jeff was alluding to. But when I look at this game, y'all, I thought Russ played well enough for his team to win, and ultimately, for sure. that's the job of the quarterback, right? He had a great throw to the tight end. It was a difficult catch to make, but he had a great throw rolling out to the tight end in the end zone that could have been caught. He has some – the one thing I looked at Russ last night and I thought is take off sometimes, bro. Like, I thought there were some plays to be made with his legs in certain situations where he kind of just waited a little bit too long. I think Lamar Jackson did that a little bit last year, and I was trying to figure out what's happening with that. But ultimately, dude, like, I'm not going to blame Russ, bro. But Russ had this team within the 10-yard line.
That's right.
Three times in this football game. Mm-hmm. And they came away with 0 points. I thought he was fine. He played good enough for this team to have a chance to win games. For
sure. Yeah, three trips inside the five. They actually got one field goal out of it, so 3 points in those inside trips. Quick thought on it, Danny.
Yeah, just the offense overall, the whole operation kind of looked a little bit off. I think a lot of that probably is the first-time play caller and the communication. I would expect it to get better, but in terms of the way he looked and moved and played, he looked like Russell Wilson.
In the meantime, it is time for the trivia question for Mr. Graziano here. No Hembo, no problem. Here we go. The Rams and the Bengals both lost week one. What was the last time both Super Bowl teams from the previous year lost week one the following season?
Yeah, I'm kicking myself because this has probably been mentioned here in the last couple days and I just didn't see it. So I don't know. It's rare that the Super Bowl champion loses. I'm going back to 2012. I remember the Giants lost the opener to Dallas, but I don't recall if the Patriots did. I'm going to guess 2012, Giants and Patriots.
It goes back a lot farther than that. It goes back to the previous millennium.
Jeff
Saturday had it right. Uh-huh. It was the Broncos and Falcons the year Elway retired.
But how do you know that?
Elway, he from just Atlanta. Said it. He said it immediately.
From Atlanta.
It was the 99 Broncos and Falcons. Elway retired. The Broncos fell off the table. So all it right. hasn't happened in 23 years.
Here's what we know. Darius might be better at this than Hembo.
Oh. Wally Pip.
Pimple. You better stand up for Pimple.
That's going to get ugly.
I'm not going to lie to you.
The man just had twins, bro. That's rude.
Hey,
that's
the man rude. Just had twins, and he named one of them after me.
Oh, there you go.
By far the superior twin, I should add. So that's a cheap shot, and I will not have it. Okay, time for Neek's top five. Let's do it. Neek, let's make our way over to the other side of the room. Oh, it is week one. By the way, what is that? Yeah, was that? What were you in business school when you took that picture?
I don't know. I look young and cute.
Okay. Now you're old and cute. Here we go. So we got the top five teams in the NFL as voted on by you and only you after 1 week in the season. Go.
Yeah, one man gets a vote. I go with the Bucs right here. They had an impressive win against, I think this is more a shot. They're not any higher because I don't think the Cowboys are that good. So they didn't really challenge the Bucs, so we don't know much about how that offensive line is going to hold up, how good Tom Brady and those receivers will be this year because they just ran the ball and dominated them defensively. So right now, I like the Bucs. They're going to be number five. Number four, we'll go with Justin Herbert and the Chargers. They made some additions, so they were not completely perfect on defense. They were a little rusty. They're getting together, even though they turned the ball over a lot. You see that throw? Justin Herbert is so good at football. He's only getting better, it appears. This team, again, they're in that group of death, so it's going to be tough for them to win a Super Bowl because it's going to be challenging, but I got them at number four. Number three, this is the one that's going to upset people.
Yeah.
Minnesota Vikings. Number three to Minnesota Vikings. And this is my reason. Same reason why the Bucs, I have them a little lower because they beat a bad team. The Vikings beat a good team, and I was so impressed with their offensive play design because we looked at this game, and people were thinking, you know what, you got to stop Justin Jefferson. They moved him around. They ran unique routes to make it really easy for him to get open and to take pressure off Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is the reason why you might say they're not a Super Bowl caliber team. They made life incredibly easy for Kirk Cousins. Number two, Josh Allen and the Bills. What they did to the defending Super Bowl champs was outstanding. They had some mistakes early in that game that made it closer than it should have been, but I don't think that the Rams are as good as they were last year. I don't think they're even close to that because of the losses that they've had. And the pass rush for the Bills was what really made me impressed with them. So we'll see how they do going on. But y'all know who number one is. It's Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't want to get tweeted at by his mama. I call him whatever she say to call him. So this team, the way that they came out and dominated, admittedly, not very good Cardinals team was really impressive. They completely dominated them from start to finish, and we know they have the pedigree and the coaching staff.
Okay, so I know everyone is going to yell at you. Let me say this. The only thing I disagree with is that I would have Buffalo at number one. I love your pick of Minnesota. You were saying you believe the Vikings are the best team in the NFC. Jeff Saturday, why did you react that way?
I think the Bucs are better than the Vikings right now, and I think the Eagles would make an argument for that same spot. So I like both of those teams. I like what Minnesota did, again, but his reasoning for why the Bucks aren't higher because they played Dallas, and then he puts Kansas City at one after they beat the Cardinals and the Bills beat the Super Bowl champions, and he bumps them to two. The Harvard educated brain didn't work. It didn't work this morning.
You know who else would have the Eagles ahead of the Vikings? Dominique, like three segments ago, when he had the Eagles in the Super Bowl from the NFC.
I'm watching the show. So, Mike, do you want to explain it to him or do you want me to explain it to him? I think that they're going to win the Super Bowl, but you're asking me for my power rankings right now after week one. This was the team that was most impressive to me. Right. And what they did to a much worse opponent is not anywhere close to what this team did against a much worse opponent.
But the team that's going to beat Marcus,
everyone's going to focus clearly.
Currently have sufficient power to do so.
Marcus, they're going to vote on – they're going to react to Minnesota. What do you think?
Look, Minnesota power ranking week one, but to me, the Chargers should be in front of Minnesota. The Chargers played a team that I think is going to be a playoff team in the Las Vegas Raiders. And then, too, like, I would – Fox, I ain't mad at the top five. I would change the order. I would put Bills. I would put Chiefs. I would put Chargers, Vikings, Bucks. That's what I would do.
I stopped listening a long time ago.
At the end of the day, the interesting part of the conversation is Minnesota for real? Yes. Now, look, I mean, Michael Irvin is picking them before the season starts to have an enormous year. We're going to find out. But I am riding, regardless of what ridiculous things he's doing behind me I am riding with my man Dominique. I think that the Vikings are going to be the surprise team in the NFC this season. As we continue, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, they had one thing in common this week. They probably wish they didn't share it, and that's a loss. We'll explain coming up next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
That is some power ranking.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, we are back here on ESPN. A reminder, the Aces got the dramatic Game 1 win Sunday afternoon of the WNBA Finals. Game 2 is coming up tonight in the best of 5, 9 o'clock Eastern. WNBA Countdown tips off our coverage at 8:30 Eastern. If I sound a tad distracted, it's because I have breaking news that literally was just told to me moments ago, and that is that the Dallas Cowboys have said they are not going to put Dak Prescott
on the injured reserve. This after he underwent surgery on his thumb yesterday. All of the initial diagnoses that we had heard were that he would miss 6 to 8 weeks. I'm told that Todd Archer has just tweeted this. Again, I'm getting this real time. Jerry Jones said on the radio in Dallas, the Cowboys will not put Dak on injured reserve, which would knock him out at least 4 games following thumb surgery. Quote, Dak has a real chance to be back out there throwing the ball pretty quick, he said. We are getting this together. You and I are learning all this at exactly the same time, and so is the crew here. Dan, before anything else, explain exactly what the significance of that is.
If you put someone on injured reserve, they have to miss at least 4 games. So by not doing this, what the Cowboys are saying is we think he can be back in less than 4 games, which, I mean, sounds like a terrible idea, right? I mean, why would you rush it? Russell Wilson, I don't know if it's exactly the same, but he had a similar injury last year. He missed 3 games and came back and has admitted he came back too fast. So the Cowboys are saying they're holding out hope. In the meantime, they have to use the roster spot on Dak Prescott, can't add somebody. It just sounds like a... I don't know. Sounds like a mistake.
Well, we'll see. Marcus, let's get your, again, the Cowboy here. Let's try and give me the analysis on this here. What do you think of this move by the Cowboys?
Desperation. It's the owner. It's owning that you didn't do enough to help this football team in case this happened, right? Like, that's really what it is. And it's what desperation looks like. It's what it sounds like. It's our only real chance at being a team that could be in the conversation to make a playoffs. Make the playoffs, not make a playoff run. But, fellas, the problem that I have with this situation, especially now, because now this is serious, we're talking about Dak's injury. Like, you bringing Dak back, In 3 to 4 weeks. First of all, he's not going to be healed. I don't know nothing that breaks that's going to be healed, especially on his throwing hand. But I'm not a doctor, so I'll go with whatever that opinion is that they think he can be back. But here's the other point. You ain't going to do nothing anyway. You ain't going to the Super Bowl. You ain't going to make no playoff run. So you are jeopardizing what? Now, and here's the last thing I'll say. You still going to have the same left and right tackle when he come back. You're still going to have the same offensive line, and he's in surgery, and I know this is about to sound harsh, because you gave up pressure. That's why he's got to have surgery on his thumb. So nothing changes about this situation other than Dak being in harm's way. Now, Dak going to say the right things. Yeah, I want to get out there as fast as I can. I'm glad they didn't put me on IR. If you are not able to grip a football as a quarterback, you are jeopardized.
To be
in
clear,
a game where when your thumb was working properly, you wasn't playing well before that.
That's right. And to be clear, the only way this makes sense, it's a pure roster situation, is if he comes back in 4 games or fewer. That's the only way that this will have been the right thing to do. Jeff, what's your reaction
to love Jerry. Jerry got the fans on life support. They done brought the paddles out. Clear. Woo! We got them going. Dak's going to be back 3 to 4 weeks. Going to be ready. Going to be making the playoff run. I am with you. Did you hear how broken Steven sounded yesterday? Yesterday, I still believe in this team. Not Jerry. Jerry paddled him up. He's got him ready. Jerry said, we're back, baby. We're going to make a push for the NFC East. Jerry can sell you. Right now, I'm excited. I'm excited right now.
I get it. He's
cousin Dak.
But is it working? Are you buying what he's selling?
I'm not buying it, and no one ever forgives people for injuries. You get criticized for your injuries, how you perform. You get criticized for how you perform. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't have to look further back than last year for Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. And Dak Prescott already got his money, so it won't be the same situation. But the perception around Dak Prescott is not going to be helped by this. Him coming back to a bad team with a bad thumb is bad for Dak Prescott. And I know that he wants to play, but I hope someone in his life steps in and is like, nah, this is not good for you. This is not good for them. Just go ahead and wait.
I'm confused by this. I heard Steve Young on Monday Countdown yesterday talking with RG3, the two quarterbacks, saying his biggest concern is that his thumb is never the same again.
Right.
That he's literally never able to be the same player again. The idea that he's going to come back in the next month seems improbable, to say the very least.
It does. And again, Russell Wilson last year hurried back, admitted after the season that he rushed back. He missed 3 games. I think it's a mistake.
This ain't a movie, dog.
You put him on IR, you're telling him Take your time.
All right, this really is surprising news. Marcus, I'm going to let you have the final word in a minute. I have to let Jeff go. He's going to go do First Take. We will still do. We got security still to come here, and we have much more reaction to the Cowboys saying they will not place Dak Prescott on IR. It's breaking news, and frankly, it's really surprising. In the meantime, we got great college football coming your way again this weekend, highlighted by SEC teams and the number one team in the country. We got Georgia, South Carolina. We got Brian Kelly and LSU hosting Mississippi State. And then at night, we got Miami and Texas A&M. All three games will also be available on the ESPN app. I mentioned Jeff's going over to do First Take, top of the hour. Wasn't the return that Russell Wilson was hoping for. How much blame does he get for Denver's loss? Stephen A., Molly, Keyshawn, Jeff Saturday, First Take, top of the hour, here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I know some people in this league need security. Everybody ain't getting dumped around here. This long gone mother law. He needs a new security guard. They better find somebody quick. Athleticism is a trait of being a security guard. And when you don't have none, you get your quarterback killed by a little guy. Like when the big dude run up on one of the little dudes and then you find out he a damn MMA fighter and you get beat to sleep. You need new security.
just the open made us all laugh in this room. It's been too long. We've saved the best for last. It is Swagoo's revenge. Before we give way to First Take, who needs new security this week, Marcus?
Gee, let's get it popping. First of all, Matthew Stafford. Jordan Phillips plays for the Buffalo Bills, and nobody told your damn offensive line because you needed new security at the start, the middle, and the finish of this game. And oh, by the way, your former teammate went over to the Buffalo Bills to try to help them do what you did last year, and you forgot about that too. My bad, no boom. I ain't mean to put you on blast. Von Miller did. It ain't me. It's Matthew Stafford need new security because Von Miller and Jordan Phillips decided that nobody is going to block me today. Look at Matthew Stafford folded up like a little baby. The Rams going to get better. Y'all going to be better. Everything going to be well. Next, Joe Burrow, they spent all this damn money on getting you an offensive line, and we still feel like you need new security. Now, it might be continuity, but I tell you what, against T.J. Watt, unfortunately, who's out, don't run this play design. Don't try to get a guard out there to block T.J. Watt in a passing situation. Joe Burrow, you need new security. And Cam Hayward, oh my Lord, just bully the man. He's young, he's spry, he's bright, he's trying to figure out this league, and he got to go up against this manimal named Cam Hayward. Joe Burrow, I thought I wouldn't be saying this year, but you need new security. Hopefully it ain't to the tune of 70 sacks in one season and 9 in one game. But you had 6, you're damn near there. Percentages ain't working in your favor, big fella. And last but not least, as we go, Aaron Rodgers, Za'Darius Smith was cut by your football team. You ain't got no receivers, and y'all ain't got no passing game. And it's their fault. We know you the GOAT. We know you one of the best to ever play. Za'Darius Smith told you, hey, Aaron Rodgers, you need new security. I like the dudes that rush over there for Green Bay, but this was a hell of a rusher too, and for him to get this in on Aaron Rodgers, I know it felt good. Look at Za'Darius Smith. He looked like he made a game-saving sack to win the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, you need new security. That was Matthew Stafford. That was Joe Burrow. And that was Aaron Rodgers, 3 of the best we got in this league. Hey, offensive lines, y'all better get y'all stuff together because I'm going to be bringing new security all year long.
That's good to have it back. Rodgers may need new receivers, too. Again, before we give way, and that is one of our staples, before we give way to Stephen A. and company, very quickly, Marcus, the breaking news, Jerry Jones saying on the radio in Dallas they will not put Dak Prescott on IR. That means in order for that to make sense, he would have to come back within 4 games. What do you think of it? Quick reaction.
Gee, let me tell you, I hope I'm wrong.
but I don't think I'm wrong, and I don't think this is good for Dak Prescott. And it needs to be a conversation had about where he really is instead of trying to appease. If you can't throw the ball, if you can't throw the ball, if you can't have success gripping the football, if you're dealing with the same type of protection that you're going to be dealing with, whether you come out in 3 or 4 weeks, nothing is going to change about this team, and Dak is playing with fire. All right, because to Foxy's point, and I'm going to let him make it, but he's not ready to come back in 3 to 4 weeks if you broke your hand on your throwing, your thumb on your throwing.
Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling is this ain't a movie, dog. Like, everyone thinks I'm going to come back and I'm going to be the tough guy, put this team on my back and fight through injuries, and we're going to be champions. That don't happen. And we can go down a long list of players who've tried to do it. It's so rare. You need to take care of yourself for the long term.
Clearly. It's a roster spot they just can't use unless they put him on.
And additionally, they already have Michael Gallup, who's not on IR. So they're doing the same thing, hoping he's back within 4 weeks. So, yeah, they're playing. Most important, you hope it doesn't force Dak to rush back.
We will find out. They'll have more on that as First Take takes over, starting right now.
Tuesdays are